here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big bite. Fuck, dude, everything is closed.
We could swear in this podcast?
Yeah, yeah. We can now. I mean, everything's closed. What's going to happen?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, man. So, a lot going on. WrestleMania is going to be at the Performance Center over the course of 2 days in front of...
nobody!
I feel so bad for Rhea Ripley and Drew McIntyre. Like,
I feel bad for
Edge. I feel bad for... Edge. I feel bad for everyone. I mean, I know that I've seen a lot of talent, like, tweeting about it. Like, when they announced it, there were a lot of people who were like, we are going to put on the best show we can for you because you deserve it. And I feel like all the talent really wishes that there was some way that we could, like, safely proceed with WrestleMania as normal. But, you know, it's, like, apparently we can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say apparently. Like, obviously, this is, like, a huge, you know, this is a big deal, but...
On the plus side...
Yeah.
Nobody can boo Roman. Yeah. When he wins the title.
That's one thing. The Goldberg-Roman match...
This could be a massive Vince McMahon conspiracy just to make sure that Roman doesn't get booed at WrestleMania.
I think I saw somebody on Twitter actually say that in, like, seriousness. And I was like, okay, Siri, how do I punch somebody through Twitter? Like, well, I mean, just unbelievable. But, and over the course of two nights, too, it's like, I mean, this is the best time to try that out. If they were going to actually ever turn WrestleMania into a two-day thing, try it out now. No?
I guess. It'll be different.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like it.
It's definitely going to be weird. It's definitely going to be strange to watch, like, you know, because WrestleMania, they pull out all the stops, both in terms of all of the presentation and the matches themselves, so it's going to be crazy to watch things happen that would normally result in massive fan reactions, and then there just won't be anything. I like the idea that you had of, like, just trying to...
villaging it?
Yeah. I just don't, I don't know how long it takes for the test results to come back, and I don't know how long, like...
I heard, like, 4 hours or something like that.
Right?
For some tests.
I mean, so if they just tested people and then let them in and then, you know, didn't allow outside contact after that or whatever, like, I don't know, like... But at the same time, like, I feel like if this had happened in, like, November... Or even, either that or they could have figured out a way to set something like that up. Where, you know, but it was like, this happened so close to the show. It was like, what else even could they do? Because you can't push that show back. You can't push anything back. It's like wrestling is story-driven and everything is happening week to week to week. You can't draw all this stuff out for, like, 6 months. It's... hard enough practically for them to build over the course of 2 months sometimes. So, like,
or a week.
Sometimes. Although, granted, they have been having the time of their damn lives with these empty building shows this last week or two. Like,
oh, they've been interesting for sure.
Yeah, Triple H has been having so much fun, and having Asuka on commentary just shouting in Japanese is like everything that I've ever wanted. I mean, that is, I think I've literally asked for that. And we got it.
Yeah. Can't argue with that. Better than Jerry.
That's for damn sure. I think there's a petition out there where someone was joking about starting a petition to actually replace Lawler with Asuka on commentary.
You're all right with that.
Me too. Outside of the fact that, like, you know, I want her to also wrestle, but, like, she could literally, like she could, like, get up and, like, do her entrance and whatever. She could be first match. First match and then go on commentary after that. Give her some water.
Yeah, let her catch her breath.
Let her catch her breath and then get her on commentary. The rest of the show would be perfect. I'd be way into it. So, yeah, for the foreseeable future, Empty building matches and no Takeover Tampa. That's gonna be, I guess, on the Wednesday before WrestleMania weekend, I suppose, now. So that's really weird. I feel bad for everybody. Like, we all want to be safe and we all want to make sure we're not spreading it. That's the consensus I've gotten, like, from everybody I've talked to. Like, everyone's basically like, I'm not worried about me, I just don't want to give it to anybody else. And that's, like, the
main thing.
Yeah, it's the big concern. Because, you know, we had to cancel our show this past weekend. And that was what everybody was feeling. Like, we, you know, like, if we would have pressed forward with it and then someone ends up carrying it and then someone's grandma dies or something, like, oh my God, like, I'd have never forgiven myself.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been pretty horrible.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So empty building wrestling for the immediate future, and that makes NXT UK all the more interesting, because, like, with these shows all being already in the can, like UK was taped a couple weeks ago, you know, after tonight, we still got 4 more weeks of NXT UK in front of a crowd.
And hopefully by then things will be situated.
Yes.
Or else they'll be starting to wrestle in front of nobody.
Well, that's going to be, like, I'm wondering what's going to happen with UK after this if it's not sorted. And what's going to be the fate of TakeOver Dublin? They're obviously waiting until the last moment to possibly cancel things or hold thing, change things up so that they're in an empty building. So hopefully TakeOver Dublin isn't affected. They did not mention COVID-19 on the show at all. They didn't do any dubbing over commentary or anything like that.
Yep.
Obviously, we're just going to hold out hope that everything is sorted and that, you know, they've got it all under control by the time the end of April rolls around. Obviously, people didn't feel like it would be under control in time for WrestleMania. Plus, there's a travel ban. I mean,
yeah,
that's a big part of it too, really. Because, like, I mean, there are international stars wrestling on the show, and there are people who travel from all over the world to come to WrestleMania. So you've got, like, I mean, I don't know how many people it is that come from overseas to the show, but I know it's always a lot. I don't know. It could be 5,000 to 10,000 people who had tickets from.
That's probably even more.
Possibly. I don't want to try to estimate that, because I really have no clue what the demographic breakdown is, but I know they always talk about there's people from all 50 states and so many different countries that come in. So it's a lot. So you'd have, like, people missing, people unable to use their tickets and stuff, and through no fault of their own, if they had gone through with it or whatever. Like, yeah. You know, even if like the city of Tampa had allowed it to go on and they didn't cancel the show or whatever, you know, we've banned international travel by airplane through that weekend. So it's like, what can you even, you can't do anything about that. So it would have been really unfortunate, really unfair for those people who bought tickets coming from Europe and other places. So crazy, crazy times we live in. It is seriously, it's like Thanos snapped out there. Like, everything, so many things are closed, or they're open, but you can't stay there. Like coffee places and food places where you can only go in and order and take your stuff and leave.
Right.
Yeah, like occupancy is limited. So many businesses have just closed, like factories and stuff are closing, and it's just mad. And I know that you were saying that your shoot job might have you out for a couple weeks soon, too.
Potentially.
Yeah.
That's what's on the rumor mill.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of looking at it, too, with us. We're looking at, we're trying to stay productive and everything, but it's like, I'm almost kind of expecting, like, eventually our chain of supply or something's going to get messed up at some point. Somebody's going to get it. Or, you know, I mean, we
it's
have...
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. And then we're going to have to, like, close up for a couple weeks or something. But I know that our government is working on some sort of, like, economic stimulus package. And hopefully that gets rolled out quickly. Because I know a lot of people are going to be needing that. In other parts of the world, that's just I think something that where it's just normal. Like, I've been getting the gist of it that I've been getting is that the things that we're deliberating and talking about in Congress right now are things that are just a part of life elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, for what that's worth. But why don't we talk about NXT UK?
Yeah, so let's get some positive stuff, I guess.
Yeah, so we are in the second week from Coventry here. First matchup, Kaylee Ray versus Dani Luna, non-title, but I like this because last week Kaylee Ray interfered in Dani Luna's match, and so now this week we get a match out of that. So that's some nice storytelling and during
it's
the
nice
show.
Nice to see Kaylee finally wrestling. It's been a while. It seems like, at least to me, I don't think I've seen her wrestle since World Collide. It might have been one of the episodes I missed.
Yeah, because you did miss a couple. Yeah, she did. No, she did. I could look back through, but I mean, it's been a little bit. Yeah. And Dani Luna's been heavily featured. She's signed now to NXT UK. Her and Candy Floss both signed to the brand. So it's been good to see Dani getting a lot of TV time. I like her. She's got a great look. She's really good in the ring. She's got a powerlifting background, and all of her matches so far have been really entertaining. And this is no different. This is a really good, quick, fast-paced match. A lot of back and forth, a lot of reversals, and you know, Dani looked good. Kaylee Ray looked strong, and Kaylee Ray won with the Gory Bomb, won with her finisher, but she put a beatdown on Dani after the match, and then Piper Niven came running out. So, seems like we are sort of on the route towards getting Piper and Kaylee Ray one-on-one.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not counting out yet that we don't end up getting Piper and Tony instead. I'm not
completely... Well, Tony hasn't been on the last couple weeks.
Tony hasn't been on since her I Quit match.
Yep. So
but that's, I mean,
that's to be expected.
Yeah, but that was totally like 3 weeks ago now. So
yeah, I could totally see Piper getting a chance and maybe Tony screwing her out of it, leading towards this.
Maybe that could happen too. I feel like something's gonna happen. I mean, we haven't seen Tony hasn't popped up anywhere else yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. I feel like there's something's gonna happen here.
Yeah.
Although I do, I would eventually like to see the Kaylee Ray, Piper Niven one-on-one match. And I'd like to see it with a decisive ending, but I think you're right. They could do that, and then Tony could come out at that point. And if that's the case, then that means that match is either planned for TakeOver, or it isn't going to happen until like the fourth or fifth episode from Coventry here, which means that we wouldn't see Tony for a little while in real time. But
yeah.
I guess that means that the live crowd there only missed out on her for one night. That's the benefit of these taped shows. You can do these things.
Yeah.
We go backstage, and we see Finn Balor making his way through the backstage area through catering, and he's getting a lot of nasty looks from people. Tyler Bate is one of those people.
Yeah.
They have a little face-to-face.
Didn't take too kindly to the Prince.
No, he didn't. He said he immediately we cut to him confronting Johnny Saint Sid Scala, saying that Finn Balor's walking around like he owns the place and he's none too happy about it. And I'm just like, please give us this match. Please give us this match. Please give us this match. Please give us this match.
Which we probably will get it at some point, because I don't know if they're going towards Finn and Walter at Dublin or...
I know, because... I was thinking that was going to be a TakeOver Tampa, but it's like you'd have to build that match and then build the Dublin match, whatever that was going to be, like kind of at the same time. And so that's, although we are getting, well, and we found out here, so it's a good time to talk about it, because Tyler Bate asked for a match with Finn, and they're like, nah, which is weird, because usually, it's been a meme lately on this show, like someone's like, hey, I want this match. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. They didn't rule it out. They just said not yet.
Yeah. They said yeah.
Because they're doing a battle royal in, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now.
20-man battle royal for the right to face Walter.
They didn't say when, but they said the right to face Walter for the title. Yeah. And Tyler Bate is going to be one of the 20 in the match.
Yep.
So, good.
Yep. Big, strong boy against 19 other not-so-big, strong boys.
Right. Hey, I think one big, strong boy could throw 19 people over the top rope.
I think so. Same time.
All at once. Yep. Just airplane spin all of them. They'll just all go flying out.
Yep.
It'll be perfect. What do you think about Battle Royals? I like Battle Royals.
I don't mind them.
When they're booked good, I suppose. It's like, because you can get kind of a...
You get a good match, good 20-minute, 30-minute match out of...
You can. I mean, it's definitely no Royal Rumble, but, yeah, like, no. You know, but
there's
you,
generally, there's a lot of people that you know won't win, and then there's, like, three people that could win.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of hope they avoid here. And I think this roster is deep enough that, like... I feel like when we get to that Battle Royal, we could be looking at it like, ooh, there's about almost half of this field, like, they're actually potential winners. Yeah. Because it could be Tyler, it could be Finn, if he's in it. It could be Ilya Dragunov, if he's in it.
Joe Coffey again. Joe
Coffey is a possibility. Dave Mastiff is a possibility. Like,
there's Johnny Saint.
Put Johnny Saint in the Battle Royal. He just puts himself in it. Oh, no. Sid Scala will get his revenge from the time that Johnny Saint just threw him out there against Cassius Ohno, and Sid will just make Johnny get in the Battle Royal, and he'll be in the final three. I'd be
perfectly content with this.
I would love it. I would just love it. That'd be, yeah, book it. Book it. If it didn't happen, book it now. Just go do it in an empty building.
Yep.
We got a pre-tape within a pre-tape here, a vignette in a vignette, because... they showed a clip from the IFA Valkyrie vignette that we've seen, and then it becomes clear that Nina Samuels, sitting in her makeup chair, was watching this vignette. And Nina's not too pleased about IFA Valkyrie stealing her spotlight and having all the buzz, and so she proclaims that they're going to have a match next week. I believe she said next week. That's what I remember, and I think recollection.
I believe so. She said she's going to do something about it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming
it's next week. Yeah. So that'll be cool. Nina seems to be the one that they sort of put people up against to take them to the next level. It's a pretty good role for her. She's a really good classic kind of, you know, stuck-up heel. So it's a good role. I like that she put her hands up and her name appeared. I wish I could do that in real life.
It'd be nice.
Be fun. Just boom, boom. Just do it in bright... pinkish purple letters like that. Be right up my alley. Joseph Connors and Ridge Holland is our second match, and Holland is just a big, powerful dude.
Well, he played rugby.
He did play rugby, and I've said it before, how's that man wrestle with no knee pads? In fact, Tyler Bate doesn't either. I don't understand how these guys can work with no knee pads on.
They don't wear
my
knee pads doing rugby either, though, right?
They don't?
I don't think so. I think they just wear short shorts.
They don't wear knee pads in rugby?
I don't think so.
How would you not, like, just die in half?
Do you see the size of Ridge?
Yes, but that means that there's, like, a bunch of other people his size, too, and they're all trying to kill each other.
They're so polite about it.
Apparently I need to watch rugby way more often than I do, because I don't know this, but are you sure? Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
Look it up. I need to know this.
Nobody has knee pads in these pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to apologize right now to our British and European
listeners. This is great. Let's have the two American people who have no idea what the hell rugby is or what they wear.
I know what rugby is, but...
But let's comment on it.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about it as if we know what the fuck we're talking about, right? Yeah, typical American
garbage. Yeah, most of these are just, like, knee-high socks and no knee pads.
Okay, so rugby players, you're officially, like, the toughest people in the world.
We're bitches.
I will not fight any of you.
No.
So,
well, if Rich Holland's coming at me, what am I swing on him? No, I'm going to screech like a little girl and run down the street.
Yeah, and then he's going to pounce you, and you're going to fly into the fifth row.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bad. And it'd be worse for me. It'd be worse for me because I'm smaller than you. I'll fly further.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
I might bounce off like a couple feet because of my weight. You'll go into the next block.
I'll be put into orbit.
Yeah, it'll be like that space beam.
Exactly. Dude, you know what? Truthfully, I think that Ridge would be really fun to work with for myself personally. It'd be really fun to just let him toss me around. I'd bump like crazy for him. I'd just totally put him over huge.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. It'd be a lot of fun. I just get like a couple things in real quick, just make a quick little comeback, then he could just take my head off and go to the finish.
Take his hat off.
And take his you wouldn't even need to take his hat off. No. I love how he's always got his club with him and he never uses it because he doesn't need to. Talking about this match, Holland just being a big, strong dude. There was that little awkward moment where, like, Connors had landed on the mat and went to like kick Holland in the leg, and it looked like they almost weren't. Their timing was a little off, but they made up for it. Holland tried doing some dives and whatnot. It doesn't work. Holland hit the Northern Grit kind of from the top turnbuckle, and a big win. This is the biggest win for Ridge Holland so far. They're really, really pushing him. He hasn't lost yet. He's been slowly working his way up the ladder from like enhancement talent to like established guys now. So feels like something big is in store for him. But Joseph Connors, poor dude, it looks like his push might be over.
He did look all right in the matchup because he did go after his knee for the majority of it.
That was definitely the most offense anybody's gotten on Holland so far. So good for him. But I guess we'll see what the future holds for both these guys. It looks like a couple of people who might be kind of headed in different directions right now. We'll see. Then we go backstage, and somebody took out Mark Andrews.
So he took out the Flippy Boy.
Yeah, I mean, how rude. Somebody took out one of the lads. So, of course, Flash Morgan Webster and Bomber Dave Mastiff are running over to check on him. And the Gallus firm just shows up conveniently. But they deny any wrongdoing. So
They probably didn't do it.
Honestly, yeah, they probably didn't, truthfully.
I think they're just being wrongly framed.
I think so, too. I think somebody else. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree with you. Yeah. I think you're 100% spot on.
Yeah.
I think it's going to turn out somebody else did it. But the question is going to be who. Wouldn't it be interesting if it was the person who ended up filling in for him? I'm thinking kind of long-term weird storytelling here, because
it would be...
Because I
needed heel turn.
We'll come around to that. Because I don't want to talk about that match yet. We got a WrestleMania commercial. There's a few of those, but we've been getting the WrestleMania pirate theme commercials. I really hope they decorate the PC in like a big pirate theme and at least make it like kind of feel a little bit like it's WrestleMania. I'm sure they will. They gotta do some cool set dressing in there. It's WrestleMania. It's not just like an empty building, SmackDown or Raw. They gotta go out for it. It's just
an empty building, WrestleMania.
I know, but they gotta at least make it look really spectacular in there. They gotta do something.
We'll see.
We will see. We'll see. We got an Ilya Dragunov vignette. He's a good dude. He's a solid guy.
Yep.
One of the people I really like from this promotion, along with everybody else. Third match, Cassius Ohno versus Kenny Williams. I haven't seen Kenny Williams in a little bit. He's usually in tag team matches, but this week he's up against Cassius Ohno. And Cassius Ohno, out of the kindness of his heart, gave us a British wrestling lesson.
Yep.
Again, it fits the theme of this whole damn podcast with we got an American out here giving out British wrestling lessons to the British.
Yep, you're welcome.
Had some good chain wrestling to start, and we had another little awkward moment here as things got going. Kenny tried to do a springboard crossbody off the middle rope, and Ohno wasn't quite close enough to like catch him. I don't know if like Kenny needed to go further or if Ohno needed to be closer, but it was just kind of a rare moment of them getting tripped up. But you know what I like that they do here, because UK is a pre-taped show. They didn't bother like retaping the whole match or something. It was just like, nope, that was the match and that's what we're going with. Because I know that
WWE does that.
Yeah, like with SmackDown when it was taped before, they were notorious for like they'd like after the show is over, they would like retape matches if there was something they felt like didn't go over too well. I remember being at a SmackDown one time where, in fact, I think it was the one where Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of Zach Gowen in front of his family. Yeah, and Zach Gowen is from this area.
Yes. And I remember that very.
Okay, yeah. Were you at that one too, or
yeah, I was up in a suite.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I was up in the upper bowl, but like upper bowl, like right straight view, like center court, basically, and
center ice.
Yeah, 'cause it was at the Joe. Yeah. And then the show got over, and then we like everyone got let out, but like they were gonna retape a match, and I forget it was Rey Mysterio versus somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but they like let everybody down into the lower bowl to fill it up because a lot of the crowd had left, so we got to go down and get kind of up close for that one, which was cool. But it was a match that had happened earlier on the show, yeah. And they just redid it, I guess, just because maybe some spots didn't look as good as they wanted them to or whatever. I don't know. I remember a lot of the match being very much the same, but which is a little weird, but. But yeah, they didn't bother redoing it. They're just like, nope, we're rolling with it, and I like that. Kenny got some good fun offense in, a big wrecking ball drop kick to the outside, and then a dive that Cassius didn't fall from. But then he did a top rope drop all your body weight on the guy. In fact, I guess it was kind of like, it was like a coffin drop basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
And Ono bumped for that, but then we got back into the ring, and eventually the wrestling genius Cassius Ono decided to throw it back to his former personality of the Knockout Artist, and he knocked Kenny Williams the goddamn fuck out.
Yeah.
He just straight ended up, him. Yeah.
Bonked him.
He did. He bonked him right hard in the head.
Yep.
Yep. And then he locked in the Cassius clutch, and Kenny's just out. He's just done. And Cassius wins by default. By knockout with the submission hold. So that was a big win for Cassius Ono. Big loss for Kenny Williams. But a good match. We go backstage, and A-Kid is being interviewed, and he's interrupted by Noam Dar, who is one of the most entertaining people on this entire roster. Love him.
Yep.
The Scottish Supernova. And there's a good bit of bickering, and Noam Dar put himself over, and this all leads to them deciding to have a match.
Yep.
And Noam Dar called him El Dafty, and I just thought that was great.
It was pretty wonderful.
So this will be...
Him being super condescending was hilarious.
Oh, it's so great. Yeah. He's such a good heel. I love it. I mean, I guess it's...
Because he definitely has that face that you want to punch. But then he opens his mouth and it's hilarious.
That's the thing, is it's like he's so rude, but I can't even help but enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's like he's just so funny. I feel like it's going to get to a point where eventually he's just going to get so over being a heel. They're just going to have to just switch him. I hope that they switch him to face, but it's like The Rock where he, nothing changes. Yeah. He's just cutting down the villains now.
Yeah.
Just don't change anything about his persona. Supernova 11 as a babyface, but just, can you imagine him just like talking shit to Gallus or to Imperium or Jordan Devlin?
Yeah.
Or, be great. I want to see it. I want to see a Noam Dar face turn, but with him just being the same person. Be awesome. We got a nice little highlight package here for Jordan Devlin and Travis Banks, because these two have a lot of history.
Yeah. Setting up the match next week.
Yeah. And this goes back far, because remember it was supposed to be Devlin and Banks at the first, at TakeOver Blackpool, the first one, and Devlin took them out, and then we got the Devlin-Finn Balor match.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, they've just been, they've had this history. They had a match that ended in double count out, and then they went false count anywhere. And then they were both in the four-person match for their Cruiserweight title at Worlds Collide, and Devlin won that. So a lot of history here, but it's been a history that's been very favorable to Jordan Devlin. And now we've got this match, and Travis Banks has promised to become the first Kiwi champion in WWE. Go ahead.
Even though I disagree with that.
Yeah, because who do you want it to be?
Dakota Kai.
Right. I mean,
she's everybody's favorite Kiwi. No offense, Travis. But
she's my favorite Kiwi, too. No. I love Dakota.
Sorry, Travis. But, yes.
And Dakota was on NXT UK at first. Yeah. And then when she got hurt and she came back, and she's been on stateside NXT since then. But that's another person who I'd love to see on NXT UK again. But yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot kind of riding on this match. Like, if Banks fails here, where does he go from there? Because it's like, it's like Banks will be in the big match, but then always come up short. But I'd be really shocked if they ended up doing a title switch this quickly into Devlin's reign. Yeah. It's his first defense, I think. Or second defense? Second defense, I think.
I think second.
Because he defended it on NXT. Yeah. Yeah, he successfully defended it on NXT. So.
And especially with the line of Cruiserweight, like the last couple Cruiserweight champions, they've lost him pretty quick.
So. Yeah, so I don't want to see that. So it's kind of a match that neither guy can lose. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. No spoilers for those of you who are there. But it'll be a good match. Probably going to be our main event next week. So this main event, I'm going to get into it. This big six-man tag. Gallus, all three of them. Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang, NXT UK Tag Team Champions, versus Flash Morgan Webster. We have not seen Flash Morgan Webster's solo intro in so long.
Yeah, it was weird. See, I don't think I've ever seen it until today.
Yeah, because you didn't start really watching this with me until they were already like a tag team, I think. Because they've been a tag team now for a while. So, but... Yeah, they always come out to Mark Andrews' theme because it's a little bit more high energy.
Yeah.
Not that Flash's isn't like doesn't have energy because it does, but Flash's is that like oh you get the people waving and whatnot. So Flash Morgan Webster, Bomber Dave Mastiff, and boy they got themselves a replacement partner, Trent Seven.
Yep.
Half of Mustache Mountain. So. I guess to call it back to what we were talking about before, like, when I did my, you weren't here for it, because I forget if this is the week that you were on your last hockey trip, or, no, this was the week that you had a prior family obligation.
Yep.
I did my TakeOver Dublin fantasy booking, and I booked Gallus versus Mustache Mountain, and I have Gallus going over... And I have dissension between Mustache Mountain starting to be planted. And so I think that if that were to play out that way, where they had an issue and it eventually led to a Trent heel turn and a Tyler Trent feud, I think it would be just... It'd just be great long-form storytelling if we were to find out eventually that Trent was the one that took out Mark Andrews on this episode. And I would have had no way of... predicting that before, but it'd just be a great little detail. And NXT UK is so good with these subtle details and these long-term story points. I'd love to see it.
That'd be a nice change. I think they've been face like what the entire time,
like forever basically. Yeah.
So one of them should turn heel, and I guess Trent would be the one.
I mean, the one to make the most sense. I can't see Tyler Bate as a heel. I can't see either one of them as a heel, really. But
I don't know. Maybe more down the road.
Yeah.
But
okay, I mean, I guess Trent's more believable as a heel between the two. Like, you can't turn big strong boy.
Strong man.
That's how you do it. That's exactly how you do it. Boom, there you go. If he were to, he'd be like, I'm not the big strong boy. I'm the big strong man, or the big tough man, or the whatever, and then he tags up with Ridge Holland, and they just go on a tear.
I can see it.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think if they do split them up, it's gonna go that way. It's gonna be Trent as the heel. I think it's sometimes going with the logical choice is actually what's best. Everything doesn't have to be a Vince Russo swerve job.
Yeah.
But this is all obviously totally hypothetical. Could be way off on this, could be completely wrong. And it's not like, I don't want to boo Trent Seven. I just think it'd be an interesting storyline.
Yeah, that'd be different.
Yeah. But I love Trent. And so this is a fun match. Trent gave them all towels.
Yep.
They all did the towel thing in the beginning. Yep. That was fun. And this was just a perfectly good six-man tag. They didn't go... all out here, but you don't always have to either. This is a serviceable main event.
Yeah, because you had six people going at it.
Yeah.
Got plenty of spots in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Wolfgang and Trent started off, and they started off quick, and it was quick tags. And I really like that, because sometimes six-person matches, well, I should specify six-person tag matches, 3-on-3, that can go long, and it can get monotonous if you do it in, like, where everybody gets all their stuff in. Because I've seen six-person tag matches where there's, like, two heat spots and, like, everybody gets a comeback. And it can get to be a bit much if you drag it out too long. And I like how this one, it was like, no, they started quick. It was quick tags in and out. A lot of fast stuff. Flash started flying all over the place right away. So you already knew, okay, he's going to take the heat. And he did. And took the heat well. And it wasn't too long. It was just the right amount of time. A couple of cutoff spots. They ran over and knocked Trent out real quick for a moment right before the big tag. Flash threw a huge headbutt. It echoed throughout the building. And then he got the big tag to Bomber Dave. And I love what you said about a big guy getting the hot tag, something you wanted to see.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see when the hot tag is made, the other person, whether heel or face or whatever, just be like, nope, and just roll out of the ring.
Just powder.
Yeah, just completely kill all the momentum.
I think I'm going to try to get that to happen on the indies if I can. I'll try to just, like, work that in somehow. Yeah. Someone gets a big hot tag and they're just like, nah. Just nope. Just nope all the way to Nopeville.
Yep.
I would love it. But Massive got the hot tag, and that did not happen. He cleaned house instead. A really good clean house spot. He dumped two members of Gallus, and then it breaks down to Massive and Joe Coffey, which is always a great pairing. They've had a couple of dynamite matches on NXT UK. And they're going at it. Trent gets back in, and he's back out and took a big chokeslam on the floor. And everything breaks down here. Massive hits the big rolling senton on Joe, and then Flash came off with the swanton for two. But then it was Gallus's turn to clean the ring. And then at the finish, Joe Coffey shattered Flash Morgan Webster into 37 separate individual unique pieces with the big clothesline, and that was all she wrote.
Yep.
That was it. Gallus boys on top. I like this decision. Because you have a faction here, and a faction where two of the people are brothers, and then one of those brothers is tag champs with the other guy. You've got another team that has formidable competitors, but one of them has been primarily a tag team guy, and their tag partner got taken out. You replace him with another tag guy who's not tagging with his normal tag guy. It just makes perfect sense that Gallus would win the match.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
On a cohesive... Yes. Unit.
Absolutely. And I like it. And they did it, and they did it without any underhanded tactics. I mean, yeah, of course they worked Flash Morgan Webster over, but no one cheated. No BS. It was just Gallus won.
Gallus firm was better.
Gallus boys
as
on
they
top. I love Gallus. Yes. I love Gallus. They're certainly in that tweener role though. Like, they are like true neutral.
They can
NXT
play
UK.
To whoever they're facing.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it because there's not a whole lot of that where like a group is literally like just booked as being just in the middle. They're center. They don't lean one way or another. They just kick ass.
And they just want to rule the kingdom.
Yeah, it's their kingdom.
Yep.
So why not? I like it. So Gallus with a big win, kind of a much needed win, and that's how we close the show. But we've got some exciting stuff coming up in 2 weeks. We got a 20-man over the top rope battle royal for an opportunity at Walter. And next week we got a pretty loaded card here. We've got Aoife Valkyrie, who I'm really stoked on, going up against Nina Samuels. We've got A-Kid versus Noam Dar. And we've got Jordan Devlin defending the Cruiserweight title against Travis Banks. So you're going to be here. You're going to be back.
Yep.
It'll be awesome. And hopefully next week we'll have the triple threat. Because we were going to have a three-person booth today, but Vicky was just having a nasty migraine today. So she couldn't make it. So, so hopefully she'll be with us next week.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be good. And hopefully the world starts to become a little bit more normal again. I feel so bad for everybody who's out of work and who's lost family members. It's just been a brutal couple of weeks. Just so much negativity and things being canceled or postponed and just a lot of uncertainty. It's just been brutal. It's just gonna, you know, it's gonna be so nice. I know that, God, you know, I know that things like wrestling and sports are like they're not as important as like people's individual lives, but they definitely are something that is like a source of, it's an outlet, it's an escape, it's something to kind of look forward to. It's like you know, you go through your day and do the things you need to do, and so it's just nice to be able to appreciate the things that you can do or choose to do, and it's amazing how much of avoid those things are when they're not there anymore. Because, I mean, obviously you go to so many hockey games.
I know. I've been stir crazy since this happened.
Yeah, and I still had like 3 Pistons games worth of tickets left, and I'm like,
I was supposed to go to a hockey game the day they started canceling everything.
Yeah. And I
was supposed to go to SmackDown, the first empty arena show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was here. And it was going to be here until it became an empty building show on the PC. So it's like, you know, I'm very thankful that we've got 4 more weeks of UK at least that has already been taped, and hopefully the world is in a better place by the time the next set of tapings is supposed to happen. Oh man, although I know that I think they were they going back to Download Festival, and is that even happening now? Like, God, see, just so much stuff. And
that's insane.
And you know, UK people, most of them are contracted, but not all. And I really do want to take a minute to talk about, before we go, it's in the world of pro wrestling. Yes, you've got people who are signed to WWE contracts, and some of them are making really great money. Some of them are making pretty good money. But then in some other places, it's not like that. And you know, in the lower level kind of upstart, you know, grassroots independent wrestling, and all these guys are like doing wrestling on weekends while they also work their shoot jobs during the week. But then there's kind of this in between tier of pro wrestlers who are people who make their living pro wrestling, but they're not making that WWE money or that NXT money, you know, like, and I'm thinking a lot about like people who are like signed to Impact, who and promotions that are like that size, where it's like they're paid per appearance, you know, they're not salaried, they're not contracted or whatever. It's like they make money when they wrestle. And those are some of the people who are being impacted the most by this, because all of a sudden,
pun intended,
impacted the most. Yes, because their shows are canceled. And I know in the UK, I know it's probably very similar with like promotions like Progress or Pro Wrestling Eve and stuff, where it's like you've got people who make their living wrestling, but they can't wrestle right now. So I just want to make a special point to just, for anybody who's able, like if you can, right now is a really great time to support truly independent pro wrestlers. If you can buy some merch, if you can like subscribe to like a Patreon or donate or something. Like just any way, if you're able to contribute to helping out these people who are seriously like, you know, they make their ends meet. Their job is literally independent pro wrestling. It's really needed right now, like so much. I've been, you know, just lockdown and the show after that that was here, the March breakdown show in Belleville the next day. Those are both canceled, and I got the ticket money refunded for those already. So I'm going to deliberately use that money to support independent wrestlers, mostly people who are going to be on those shows.
Right.
But so anybody who can support some indie wrestlers, do it if you can. I mean, I know that we're all, so you know, people are struggling and there's kind of a state of uncertainty and we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, and so definitely, you know, if you're in a compromised situation, you know, don't feel like you got to go spending money on wrestling merch, but if you're in a position where you can do it, it's a great time to do it. And I know it'll really help a lot of people because they're out there putting their bodies on the line for us. And, you know, it's just it's great to be able to show appreciation for these men and women when we can. On that note, we'll be back next week. Lee, hit him with the socials.
LEIGHDX13 on Twitter, and it's 40 on Instagram.
Spell it out for Instagram.
It did.
Well, you said for Insta, but LEIGHDX40 on Instagram. Okay. This guy has to have two different numbers for two different
Red Wings. I almost made it even worse, but I decided against it.
You almost made it worse?
I almost changed the numbers again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Datsuk's number is like immortal, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my favorite player's number is 59 right now, so.
Is that, who's 59?
On the Red Wings, it's Bertuzzi.
I was going for
Preds.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, but your second favorite team. Home away from home team. Yes. You can follow me at BrentFFF on Twitter or Instagram. I almost said Facebook because of all the Fs. I was like... You can add me on Facebook, too, if you want. If you got that, you can find me, Brent Caldwell, on Facebook. But Twitter and Instagram, BrentFFF. The triple F stands for Far From Fiction. That's my band that I currently don't make any noise in because everything's canceled. So if you feel like giving us some streams, go for it. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Napster, anything, anywhere you can stream music, we're on there. Google Play, anywhere that you can listen to music, check it out if you feel so inclined, or even just turn it on and don't listen to it, just stream it. But thank you for listening to the show. Hopefully we're able to just kind of help with providing some much needed escape and entertainment from everything that's going on right now. I know this is just such a weird time, but we're going to be here. We're going to keep it going. You can rest assured that the We Are NXT UK podcast will keep on trucking through all of this. And, you know, if it comes down to it, man, like, I don't even mind. We can do extra content. Maybe we can do some like watch along type stuff again, because I think that episode that we did where all of us were over here and we were watching the best of NXT UK 2019, that episode got a lot of good feedback. So maybe we can do some more stuff like that. We'll just, you know, maybe pick an episode or pick a takeover and just watch it and talk about it or something. And you know, I don't know. Do some stuff like that. We'll help fill the void left by everything else not happening. And, you know, chat us up on the socials. We're on there all the time because we live on our damn phones. So,
yep.
And we love talking about wrestling. But thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week if not sooner. Everybody, take care of yourselves. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Wash your hands. And continue washing your hands once this whole thing is over. Because it's good hygiene.